What's up, guys? Yay! I love this place. I love Tijuana. I love to be in here. And, well, my name is Richard Valadez. I'm part of the team of the Chula Vista campus, which is just the other side of the border, right there, a few minutes from here. You guys, I'm super excited. This is my first time in speaking in English, like a full service. So you can tell my accent is a little bit Tijuanero. You know, I'll start throwing some Spanish words over there, but... I'm so glad. I was happy to be here. I was in Chula Vista a few hours ago doing some stuff over there and then just drive across the border. The waiters over there doesn't get it. They feel like going to Tijuana is kind of like a mission trip. You're going to put your life in risk and something bad is going to happen to you. For me, I'm born and raised in Tijuana. My wife, Rita, is over there one of my daughters, Amy. And so we grew up here in Tijuana. We were from town. We actually used to live a couple of blocks from this campus. And it was incredible. It was nice. We love being here in Tijuana again. We used to live in Las Vegas. We moved a year ago here to start being a part of the team in Chula Vista. I'm one of the pastors there. And I'm also helping Fito and JP and all those guys for whatever is happening here in Tijuana or the new campus that we're going to launch next year. So I just want to just give you an overview of who I am and what I'm doing here. Was the reason why this Mexican is speaking on the English service, which is still bizarre for me, but it's kind of cool, right? So, Will, we're going to go through right to the point. We're in the middle of the series. Well, no, actually, we're in the ending of the series, I Love Tijuana. If you want to grab your outline, we're going to follow along with that. Also, you can open your Ace Lake app, so you can open your notes. And the big idea of this series was we are sent people to bless people where we live, work, and play. The first thing you need to write it down over there is sent. We are sent people to bless people where we live, work, and play. And we bring this idea from a Bible verse from the beginning, the book called Genesis. I know you recognize it. We've been reading this Bible verse for so many times here through all this series. So in the beginning, there was this guy who is called Abraham. And God gave him a very simple job, just one job, simple as this. I'm going to bless you through your name to bless the entire world just because of you. Simple as that, right? Very simple. Let's read it down. In Genesis 12, 2-3, it says this. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing, and all peoples on earth will bless through you. What a simple task, right? Isn't that right? Are you here, guys? Just want to know. You know, God used this ordinary guy called Abram to do an extraordinary thing. Back in the day, on the beginning, there was no YouTube viral videos. They're going to go around the world. And everybody's going to know about the video. There was no Facebook, no Instagram, no nothing, no even Snapchat or WhatsApp or Skype to contact people from around the world. I can't imagine how Abraham was listening to this promise that God was doing based on his life to come in and send this guy and say, I'm going to use you and you're going to put your love, I'm going to put your favor, I'm going to give you everything because through your name, I'm going to bless the entire nations and all the world just because of you, Abraham. I just can't imagine that picture. It's incredible that God can do that through just one guy. And in that point, it was at the beginning of everything. We've been using this because this is a ripple effect that we're using it through name this series I Heart Chula Vista. When in this case, I Heart Tijuana. We actually based on this Bible verse for blessing because everyone not only just him was called to do this, but we were all called to go and bless other people. And based on that, we designed this blast card, which I don't know, some of you guys have it over there, but it has a couple of lines over there that we're going to remember, which is the word bless. It stands for five simple rhythms to share Jesus. In the first week, we talk about with the letter B. The letter B stands for being in prayer. For all the people, we live, we work, and we play. We have to pray. If you wanna live your life like Jesus, we have to go through this acrament, which is five words. And the first step to do that is to being in prayer. That is one of the ways that we can bless and duplicate what Abraham was called at the beginning. And so the first thing is prayer. And I will tell you very quick. A couple of weeks ago, I had a chance to pray for somebody in the patio. I not even remember her name or anything. The only thing is, I was in the patio. I was covering somebody else on the boot that was prayer boot. And then she showed up and just asked me, hey, can you pray for me? She told me her needs. And something particular on her prayer was that, you know, very simple. I'm struggling with all these problems. I don't have a job. I'm applying to multiple places right now. I haven't got any response. But I truly believe God is going to do something. So I just want to pray that God continue giving me the strength to go through this process and find the light and find this work that I really, really, really need. And I was like, that is interesting. Usually people is like, I don't see God anywhere. I don't have a job. I don't have money. I don't have this. And God needs to move because I'm doing all this thing. And God is not doing anything. The change between this lady and this other person, it was an attitude, you know. It was a change attitude. It was like, you know, I'm going to trust you, God, but just continually bring me your hope. Bring me the strength to go forward. We pray very quick. 2 weeks later, we're giving away shirts at the church for iHeart Chula Vista. And this lady came to me and saw me and was like, hey, you prayed for me a couple of weeks ago. And I was like, yeah. Like, I not even remember it was her. But, you know, you see a lot of people at church and it's like, yeah, I think I did. Yeah, you pray for me. I want to tell you something very quick. You pray for me and I got the job. And I was like, wow. And then I start remembering it. Yeah, I wasn't able to pronounce your name. And then, yeah, and I pray in Spanish because I usually don't pray in English. So, yeah, I remember all that. I was like, thank you for coming back and just telling me what God did in your life. Now, I'm not going to tell you guys I have powers or talents to provide you guys jobs or anything because at the end, I don't want you guys making a line to pray for you so you can get a job, right? So that is not the right thing. But what I told you is that it was not about me or my prayer. It was all about her attitude, that God moves through her and bring her what she needs on that moment. And then the second week, we went to two different words, which is lesson. L stands by listen. And then the second one, it was E, stand by eat. So listen, it's just very simple. We just need to listen other people's story. Sometimes we wanted to bring something up to the people's lives. Oh, yeah, I need to tell you this. Or I feel God that I wanted to tell you this. Or sometimes just you want to say something because you feel you need to say something. But you know what? Sometimes people just need somebody who can listen to their story, you know. And that is really refreshing, just to know what God has been doing in their life instead of just interrupting and anything. As a matter of fact, yesterday I was in the middle of a potluck with a couple of friends and coaches and volunteers from the Chula Vista team. And at one point, it was this lady sharing us a story about her life and this guy and a terrible story, but she was trying to find hope. And obviously, as a pastor, in my heart is like, I want to say something right away. I want to bring something. I want to bring this Bible verse. I want to put something in this conversation. But there was one of my coaches next to me, and he was literally just sharing his story. And I just shut my mouth. I was like, I'm not going to say anything, man. Like, and he keeps saying like, yeah, but Richard can pray for you. I was like, I was just quiet behind everything. Just this check and be visualized watching what was happening right there. This lady was sharing her story. And then this other guy just literally shared his own Jesus story. And by the end, they ended up the conversation with a hug. And you know what? There is hope. And the future is full of hope for all of us. And then I didn't say any word. And that was amazing to see. So sometimes we just need to listen and see what God is doing in other people. The second letter that we went through, it was one weekend when we went through 2 weeks, two different points. The second was eat by the letter E. So you can write it down over there in your outlines. Eat. You know, Jesus was amazing doing this job. Jesus was one of those guys who break every pentagram, and then he will meet with people, he will eat with people, he would connect. That was his model, to connect with other persons. And you know, one of the things that he did is that he will eat or have a meal, share a meal with anyone and everyone who was around him. He was great to model that. And you know, as a Mexican, that is a gift. because Americans don't do it. I'm just kidding. But, you know, they go for our coffee. We go for our tacos. You know, it's like we're going to eat. I'm not surprised. And every church in America, it's always a table like this and a coffee, and you start speaking, or maybe a bottle of water. I just wonder why in Mexico we don't have our chips and salsa and we can speak, you know? Because that's kind of like our DNA. But Jesus was great by doing this. You know, just sharing a meal. It's exactly what we were doing yesterday. We were doing a potluck with a bunch of volunteers. And this potluck opens the door for somebody who was first time in there in our church to share her story with somebody who was one of her coaches, who was simply, he's not going to tell him all the Bible stories, but he's going to just share one simple thing, his Jesus story. Simple as that. So doing this, eating with others, listen to the story, is part of the process of being people who bless other people. And then the next letter is the letter S. And letter S is stand by serve. We're more like Jesus when we serve others with our time, with our treasures, with our talents. We look more like Jesus when we do that. Just an example. Last week, what we did was incredible. This church, over 100 people went out there cleaning the streets, converting a supposedly a park who was used to look like a cemetery to an actual park. They were in the beach cleaning up the trash. They were serving their community. It was incredible to see that we were cleaning one of the main streets and seeing all these churches that are right there. They're all inside, and we're all outside doing church and community. We look more like Jesus when we do that kind of stuff. That is the letter S for serving. And then serving, one of the things that is very important to notice is serving not only bless them, but also bless us by transforming us, by helping and growing in a person that Jesus wanted us to be, serving other people. And the letter S, and stands for sangria. No, story. Might be sangria some other place, right? Man, sangria sounds right, really good right now. It stands for sangria. It stands for story. And that's the final letter. Today we're closing this series by this letter, a story. When we really pray for other people, where we live, work, and play, when we listen people's story, when we eat with other people, when we serve people, you know, there will be naturally opportunity to share our Jesus story with other people. You can't just come with their Bible and just hitting Bible verses to everybody who doesn't know Jesus. No, we have to start the opposite way. We start praying for our neighbors. We start praying for our family. We start praying for our friends. And then later, you just listen to them. Just listen what is going on in their lives. You don't say anything. Just listen. Be a friend. And then after that, if they need something, you just go and serve with them. They have a flat tire. They call you. You go for them and they help them. You know, you change their tire with them. And then you're serving them. And then finally, when you're doing all those things, God is going to open you the opportunity to share your Jesus story. But don't start that with the beginning. We usually do that. When we knew something, when God has been doing something in our lives, the first thing that we want to do is to tell the other people who they've been wrong all the time. And I make that mistake. I was telling with a couple of guys on the tech booth. I was like, when I become a Christian, I became so arrogant at the beginning. I was really arrogant with my family because I grew up Catholic. So, and I'm going to tell you guys my story later, but on that moment, I was more like, I know something that my dad don't know, and he's been pushing me to go to church, the Catholic church, all this life, and I knew that something wrong was with them, which is not, but it was, I knew something that he doesn't know, so every time I ended up, every night in a fight, and my Bible and your Bible, and they say this, and you say that, you know, instead of like, I shouldn't be doing that. That was completely wrong. That was really wrong. What we're supposed to be doing is first love our neighbor. That's the second command. Just love my family. Be myself. Listen to them. Serve them when they need me. And then by the time God is going to open the door, and I'm going to be able to share my Jesus' his story. So today, big idea is this. Sharing the the our Jesus story is necessary in order to bless others. Write it down on your outline. Today's biggest idea is share the our Jesus story is necessary in order to bless. Sometimes we don't want to do that. Sometimes we are like, I don't know the Bible verses. I don't know how to talk to other people. I'm shy. I don't know if it's the right thing. You know, people say that Christians are crazy. Then they dance around, they speak other tongues. I don't want people to relate me with this religion, you know, which is not a religion, but you want to call it that way. It's okay. I mean, it's your way of thinking. But sometimes we put all these obstacles to not share our Jesus story because we feel like we're not good enough to share it, you know? But it's completely wrong. You know, as a matter of fact, a friend of mine, he's a guy who's been fishing for so many years. He has a group who meet with them by at least 12 years. In the last 12 years, they go out and they go fish. They go to Puerto Vallarta and everywhere. And they do that all the time, often. And the other day he was telling me, hey, I want to tell you something. I was like, what? What happened? Well, I've been with this group by around 12 years. We were going fish and everything. They don't know anything about my fate. And I've been coming to Isla for so many years. And I was like, okay, where is this going? And I was like, why you didn't say anything? Well, I don't know. I just don't feel like I was comfortable to share my story or share something about the church. So I didn't say anything for the last 12 years. And I was like, 12 years. Wow, and then what happened? Well, you know, we were studying this book. He was part of the people who joined the Real Life Discipleship class. And they teach us all these things about sharing our story. So he was like, well, we meet with this group of people, with my friends for going fishing. And I remember this part of the book that we have to share our story or just a prayer or something, you know. And just feel encouraged about why I learned through this book. And for the first time in 12 years, I just tell the guys, hey, you guys don't mind if we can pray before we leave? And obviously the guy's looking at me like, what's going on with Ben? I mean, he's kind of weird, right? But he was like, yeah, that's fine, let's pray. And they put hands together and start praying together. Simple prayer. Amen. Okay, let's go fishing. After that, a couple of guys came back to him and they started making him questions about, oh, so I have a question about God. You can help me with this. Can you help me with that? That opened the conversation. But this guy, Ben, did something very important. Even if he feels like he did it wrong, he first served people, lesson people, be with friends with them, and create this foundation of friendship. And after that, he shared his story. It took a long time, but he nailed it. You know, God makes their purpose. For some reason, it happens on that time frame, you know? And that was very impacting for me. It was like, wow, I mean, how God moves in the very weird ways, you know? But it was very refreshing to hear that there was some fruit of his faith sharing that to those people who don't know anything about it. And that creates a conversation. So we're going to look into the Bible in Romans chapter 10. Look to Paul writes on the first century of the Jesus Christ followers who live on a hostile and pagan culture that was going against to everything that Jesus was telling about or Jesus' story. Let's read it. Let's read it right away here on this Bible verse. It says this: but how can they call on him to save the unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of the messenger who brings the good news. Everybody loves the messengers. You guys are the messengers of this word, of the Jesus story. What a verse. This verse means that the messenger bring the good news and people bless them back because of that. Believe me, I love and I almost kiss the delivery guy from FedEx when finally send the package on the right way. You know, I'm like, bro, one day I was expecting a large package with around 6,000 communion cups. And the guy that they've been, you know, moving and moving, like supposed to be arriving one day, and then they move it to two more days. And then was Saturday around 1 o'clock. We have a service at 6 o'clock. So I was praying on in my knees, like, please send the freaking FedEx guy here, please. I was super stressed, you know? And then finally the guy showed up with all those boxes. And I was like, bro, if you didn't show up, we don't have communion for 6,000 people who are gonna take communion today this weekend. He was like, oh, I'm sorry, you know, this and that. Oh, yeah, the cheaping, and then everybody has the problem. But, bro, I was almost kissing the guy. Bro, I bless you. God bless you, bro. Thank you for coming. We love when that good news story. I mean, now, when we are as a messenger, it's God love the messenger. God love you guys when you share your Jesus story. Not because your actions, your relations, or because you're acting well or you do the things right, but because we're learning, and simply because what Jesus did on the cross for us. That is the main point. And as a messenger, it's our command to go and share that story. And you guys are the messengers. So leaving the blessed strategy naturally will give you opportunities to share our story with Jesus. And more than a year ago, we were living in Vegas. Me and my wife, we were doing ministry in Las Vegas. And I remember a year before we moved to Chula Vista, we were in a party with a couple of friends, and it was Thanksgiving, I remember, and some of those guys, they were not Christians, but they were family, I mean, they were friends for so many years, and we were just like eating, drinking wine, and some of those that have beer and everything. I was having a glass of wine, I remember that night, and so we were talking. I was like, well, Richard, so what do you do for a living? Like, what are you guys are doing in Vegas? You work in a casino, and where you live? Because I never see houses around. Well, and I was like, well, yeah, it's pretty cool to live in Las Vegas. I live in between the Mandalay Bay and the Luxor. There's an apartment complex in between, so I live right on the strip. Wow, that's amazing. No, that is not true. That is not true. There's no houses over there. It's just the strip. If you're thinking, yeah, I thought it was you're gonna leave like right over there. No, I don't live in the strip. I mean, there's a city around. It's kind of like Tijuana. You know, you have the entire city and Avenida Revolucion, and you know, everybody cares about that street, but there's houses around. There's a community. So yeah, I live there. Okay, but what do you do for a living? I was like, well, I'm a pastor. And he almost spilled his drink in my face. I was like, you're having a glass of wine, bro, and I'm drinking a beer. So that is so weird. I was like, no, it's not weird. Like, it's nothing at all. But he started asking me questions, you know, because he sees something different. I was like, oh, I thought you guys don't do all this thing. I thought you guys don't dress like this. I thought you guys don't speak like this. I thought you guys, you know, all these things that we set up as this is our Christians, this is not non-Christians, you know. But that opens opportunity just to simply tell them what we're doing. A year later, we moved to Chula Vista, and we were another party. And again, we were eating and drinking. Everything was fine. And then again, he come back to me and say, hey, what's up, Richard? So now you're back. What are you doing? I'm a pastor. Oh, you still being a pastor. Oh, that's interesting. And now what are you doing here and this? And then I was playing about Eastlake and the idea. So that opens his heart now in a different way. He was like, you know, I've been battling with this idea about God. Now, he's trying to asking questions about atheism and if God is real or not. He didn't throw any softball to me. It was super difficult questions, but ended up opening the opportunity to share my story with him and share why I believe about God. Let's read this very quick because this is a perfect example on how we're supposed to be sharing our story. Let's read this out loud if you guys want. Let's read 1 Peter 3, 5, 15 to 16. It says this. And if someone asks about your hope as believer, always be ready to explain it. But do this in a gentle and respectful way. In a gentle and respectful way. You have a great story to share. I believe that. I totally believe that. You have a great story, but just do it in a gentle and a respectful way. People will listen to your story, and they will respect you in the same way. But if you first build this foundation of friendship, if you build that relational foundation of friendship, then people will understand and respect your Jesus story. You know, thank God it's not about how good we are because we're in a mess. Everybody here, including me, including Fito, and everybody. But thank you for Jesus, because it's all about what he did in the cross. And there's three easy ways to share our Jesus story that we want to tell you about. And the easy way to share our Jesus story is think before, during, and after. Just thinking about before, during, and after our story. Those are three simple ways to share a story. And I'm going to tell you a little bit of my life, my before. How was my before? Well, I'm going to start. I was 5 years old. I grew up as a Catholic. And we used to go to church every Sunday morning. It was an hour service. And it was fun. It was not fun, honestly. For me, as a five-year-old, it was like a service for 3 to 4 hours. It was just only 1 hour. Actually, Catholics are really good and tight to have a one-hour service. But we go to the church every Sunday. And that was it. I mean, we go to church and we go and do some groceries, eat together, and that was our Sunday. But when I was 5 years old, I remember we moved to a different town here in Tijuana, and I start meeting new friends and everything. My mom started meeting with other ladies around the block, and one of those family invited me to church to be a part of one play. It was a play about Christmas because it was around those times, October, maybe around this time. And I remember they said, hey, they're doing a play about Christmas. That would be awesome if he can join us because we need more kids. Oh, cool. So my role was to be Melchor. And Melchor was one of the kings who point out the star and say, yeah, there's Belen, there's Jesus, is born over there. So I was supposed to be one of the kings, right? And that was fun. It was cool. It was at night. We go to this Christian church to practice the play with all these kids. And at some point, the lady realized that most of us, we were not Christians. We were Catholics because we didn't go to church on Sunday. So she did what Jesus told her to do, supposedly, on her own way. But she was like, oh, I'm going to share my story because these kids need Jesus. They are sinners. They need to be in this church, you know? So her simple way to say it was like this. Well, kids, Catholics have so many demons inside the church. And they start mentioning every demon, every saint, and San Pedro, and na-na-na-na-na-na, all of this. And when you walk into the church, you see all these images that are not God. All those are demons. And I was like, shoot, I'm going to church this Sunday. I'm going to start seeing all these demons. And then, but the biggest one of all of them is Virgin Mary. And Virgin Mary is a huge demon who controls, and she was trying to make this, you know, this thing about Virgin Mary, and I was super freaking out because, unfortunately, in my house, we used to have a Virgin Mary that was about this size. It was the bigger one in the entire town. In fact, the father, I mean, of the priest of the church used to borrow our Virgin Mary to do the event, like moving the Virgin Mary house by house and do this Christmas event and everything and pray and all the stuff. So she was saying all these things. I was 5 years old, and I was like, I'm going to go to bed tonight with a demon that was in my living room. So when I come back home, I remember I was super, I was scared about it. You know, I was 5 years, I was a kid, and I start telling all my mom this thing, and my dad gets super mad about it. My mom starts saying, no, they're not demons and this. They're Christians, are Jesus freaks, and they think all this, and they do all the things wrong. You don't, you know, for now, you don't listen to anything. You just finish the play, and that's it. You're never going to come back again. I was like, okay, so the lady is wrong. Yeah, she's wrong. Virgin Mary is saint and this, all that. Okay, cool. But since then, I never see her again on the same way that I was looking. I was scared. But it was fun. And then I had multiple events like that through all my journey. Like, met a lot of Christian friends that I was maybe middle school and high school and elementary. And I always feel like, man, I went to this guy's church and everybody's jumping around like crazy. Or they're speaking another language. Like, I don't describe what type of language is that. Why they're all speaking weird words. And believe me, it was not Chinese. It was not Japanese. Because I was a big fan of Jean-Claude Van Damme and Bruce Lee movies and all that stuff. It was not that language. It was something different. But it was one thing in particular. It was passion around them. It was a huge passion. You know, by high school, when I started high school, I was a good kid. I think I always liked to have fun, you know. And I know how to get things right with my grades and everything, but I enjoy having fun at the school. I enjoy that. But by when I start high school, I remember I signed up for Cebetis de Playas, which is right here. And back in the day, it was no rules at all. It was like you can dress whatever you want to dress. You can even smoke inside the classroom if it's a hard test to do. You can even drink. We used to go to the beach and buy those coconuts, drink all the water, put beer on it, and just walk into the school, like, just keep drinking, you know? And it was like, everything was, like, possible. I did everything as possible, like, all the wrong things, everything that I shouldn't have been doing, I did that on six months, my first semester. By the end of the semester, I was kicked out of the school. I knew that I failed all the classes, but I still come in because, you know, there were friends and everything. We're still drinking as much as I can. I start smoking everything, whatever, partying, you know, all that stuff. And then one day, surprisingly, I have a meeting with the principal, which I didn't know. And it was like, oh, yeah, he's out there smoking something, so let's pull him in. And then they take me to the principal office, and it was my parents right there. And I was like, oh, my gosh, they already know what's going on. And it was very embarrassing. So they literally said, this guy is not allowed to come back to this school at all. Like, at all. Like, he did all these things, and it was terrible. They kicked me out of the school. And my dad was super angry about me. And he punished me by working in a warehouse where I continually doing everything wrong. I was doing a mess. And that didn't change. And my life was in a very dark place, honestly. Because I was trying to look for something to fulfill my soul. I knew that something was wrong in me, but I was just like, as soon as I put more things in my body, maybe that will lead me with some response to my life. I was completely lost, very far away from my dad, no communication at all, no relationship. And I remember one day they got invited me to another church, a Christian church, and I remember clearly that I was like, man, I can picture how this is going to end it up. You know, it's going to be bad. It's going to be bad. But anyway, I went to the church, and there was this guy speaking on stage. It was a youth pastor. It was a bunch of youth guys over there. And I remember he was talking about, Jesus or something. I don't know what he was talking about, but something caught my eye on that message. And I was like, this is different. I mean, I see something different on this guy and the people here. They're not getting crazy or anything. You're just like, you know, they're focused on something. So I want to know what is that about, because I feel something different in my soul. So I keep coming, start making questions. I will go to church, take all the notes, all the Bible verses. I will go to another Christian guy and tell him, like, give me answers for all those questions. They will start giving me answers. And little by little start growing until the point where one day in the middle of a message, I was one of those guys who, yes, I believe in Jesus. I know it was there. It was in the picture of my house. But now I know who is him, and I feel something different, and something changed in me that I make my next step. So I started going to church. I received Jesus Christ in my life. But during, which is the second point, nothing happened. I just go to church, and I was just sitting right there, listening to everything, taking notes, and nothing was happening. Like, I was like, oh, this is it? So the rule is not to hang out with the wrong people and just hang out inside the church, and that's it, right? So, yeah, that's it. Okay, cool. So I will go to church for about 3 years. I didn't serve. I didn't do anything. I just right there, going every Sunday, getting fights with my parents, with my family. I was the first person who became a Christian, and that was really bad and nasty, dirty. I don't know how to say it, but it was bad. But I was arrogant. I'll tell you before, like, I know something that you guys don't know, but I was not doing anything. I was like just another person sitting right there. And then what happened? One day, I experienced a really bad situation. It was dark. All the doors was closing in front of me. I was losing everything. And I was 19 years old. I was going through a very difficult and dark season in my life. And I was complaining with God. It's your fault. It's your fault. I'm supposed to be immune with nothing happened to me. Why is this? All these things are happening. I'm losing this part of my family. I'm losing this friendship. I'm losing this and that. And, you know, I was alone in one place. I was like, go to church, but I don't meet anybody. I don't connect with anybody. I just go into church, and I was crying out loud, blaming God for my situation. And I was like, you know what, God? Before you and your thing, Christianity thing, I was somebody. I was somebody out there. It was a reacher out there. As a matter of fact, my name is David Ricardo Valadez Rubio, which is my family only knows that, right? But I was a reacher, you know? I had a name out there. Maybe I didn't connect with my friends, but I knew there was something that was waiting for me, and I had a chance to go back to those places. And I told him, you know, I have this decision. And I was driving, I was crying, I was praying and say, God, if you don't answer me right now and tell me out loud something, I'm not going to follow you. I'm going to turn back to where I was because Christianity is not what I expect. And all this is happening to me. I need to figure out how to fix it. So I was driving, no music, no nothing, just crying, angry. And I heard something like this. Follow me. And God, man, I pooped my pants. I remember that moment. My skin was like, I hear his voice. And I was like, this is not happening. You're just here. Follow me. Follow me. And it's super crazy. I know. It's really crazy. But honestly, I was praying really, really, really deep in my honestly life and talking to God. And he told me, follow me. So what I did, I went to house, take a shower. Where should I go? Well, I don't know where, but he told me follows me. So I would go to church. I went to church. I opened the doors, and I realized it's a baptism Wednesday night. And at that church, you're not allowed to just go and get baptized. You have to go through a class. In fact, the pastor was saying week after week, we don't want anybody just stand up and get baptized. You have to go to a six-week class in order to get baptized. And that day, there's no message, just worship and baptisms and the families around them. So I walk in, and I was like, okay, God, I'm here. Oh, there's baptisms. Oh, what about my message? What about the preacher who's going to say something encouraging to my life and everything's going to change? Nothing was happening, what I planned. It was like, where is this? It's baptisms. I don't get to leave. And then one guy, I remember he knew about me, and it was a tall guy, Mr. Orozco. He stand with me, and he was like this. He was a really tall guy. He was like, what's up, Richard? What's up, man? Okay. You know, Richard, from all those guys who are in front on the stage are ready to get baptized, I never see them around here at the church. I don't know what they're doing there. And I was like, well, I guess they took the class, right? That's why they're getting baptized. Yeah, but I never seen their lives doing something. I don't know who they are. And I'm all the time here. I was like, okay. And I was just thinking in my mind, like, as soon as I end this conversation, I'm going to leave because there's nothing for me in this place. And then he said, Richard, but I know you. I know you very well. And you know what? I think it's your time to make your next step and surrender everything to Jesus. And I was like, no, it's not. I was like, no, I'm not ready. Actually, I didn't bring my towel or anything. The pastor's not going to let me. No, I'm going to go and talk to the pastor. No, this is your time, Richard. I just feel from God that this is your time to make your next step. I know you better than anybody there, and you need to make their next step. He didn't know anything about me, but he was following what God was telling him. So he was like, I'm going to go to talk to the pastor, and I'll come back, and you're going to get baptized. I was like, no, I'm not going to get baptized. I'm going to leave right now. He's like, you stay right here, and I'm going to leave. He went out. He come back again. He say, yes. The pastor said yes, and I was like, oh, shoot, I have to do this. I don't have anything. I didn't tell anybody about it. And I went to the side, and they take out my clothes. They put this white thing over me, and all the guys from the class, they were watching me like, who is this guy? What are you doing here? He was not in the class, and I was just praying on a corner. I was like, God, what I'm doing right now? What is this? What is happening? Like, why am I here? And then I just hear my name, Richard. And I went out of the backstage and I started walking. I didn't see anybody. And I was inside the water. The pastor was praying. And the only thing I said, all right, God, if this is it, I surrender everything to you. Everything. And I went to the water. And I walked out of the water. And I felt something that I never felt before. I was feeling God's presence, Holy Spirit. It was amazing experience that God, it was like, this is it. From that day, I remember clearly what God did in my life. And I never see on the back of my history and what I did. It was like, okay, God, I say surrender right now, and I say surrender forever. If I didn't make that decision, I wouldn't be here right now with you guys. Believe me, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be in some other place. Maybe hang out. I don't know. Maybe drunk from the last night party. And Chabela knows that because she's on the tech. She knows me back in the day. And we used to drink together. And yeah, she got so drunk multiple times. No, just kidding. But let me read you this before we leave. On Colossians 4:2-6, it says this. Devote yourselves to pray with alert mind and thankful heart. Pray for us too, that God will give us so many opportunities to speak about this mysterious plan concerning Christ. Let's put a pause right there. Let's put a pause. This guy is the name. His name is Paul, and he is from. He's in this place, but he was writing this letter. My bad. From the jail, he was getting in jail, and why he was telling this? Well, he was in jail because he was telling the Jesus story to everybody around him, and what he's praying for? He's praying that God give him more opportunities to continue sharing the Jesus story. Isn't that crazy? And then later says, that is why I'm here with chains. Pray that I will proclaim this message as clear as I should. Live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. Every opportunity. Let your conversation be graceful and attractive to so that we'll have the right response for everyone. I want you to reflect on this very quick. This guy is in the deepest and darkest moments in his life. And the only thing he's asking is more opportunities from God to share his Jesus story. Right? Probably if we were in jail right now, we shouldn't be making that prayer. Probably it was me in my car crying for that, complaining and blaming God for all my issues. And no, you know, I was that moment where this guy is in jail and he's on his deepest, dark moments. And he's asking God, give me more opportunities. I just want you to reflect on this question this week. How has Jesus changed you? How has Jesus changed your life? Just reflect on that. Making a piece of paper, your before, your during, and your after. Write it down. Get ready. And if you don't have an answer for that, maybe you're not following the same Jesus I'm following. Maybe it's another Chuy o Jesus por ahí. I don't know. But if you have an answer, just put it on a paper and be ready to share your Jesus story. You know, I want you to please meditate on this question, and I want you to just pray about it. And be ready because God needs more messengers. God needs more people go out there and deliver his Jesus story. And I'm just going to close in with a prayer with all of us here before we head out this week. And just let God use you in multiple ways. God, we're so grateful for your son, Jesus, God. Because what he did on the cross, we are here. Because his radical grace, his crazy love for us, God. Thank you so much for that. Because of him, we're here today. We just pray that you can use us this week, creating opportunities in order to have a chance to share our Jesus story to other people who need to hear it. God, please use us as the messengers every week, every day. Not just only on Sunday, but use us every day in our lives to create moments where we can share our Jesus story. God, we pray for this day. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right.